Blog Talk Radio.
Who are the unstoppable ones?
Is it just that they can do it and I can't?
Who are the unstoppable ones?
Is it just that they can do it and I can't? Mission Unstoppable. Mission Unstoppable.
The unstoppable ones.
You did say unstoppable, right? You did say unstoppable, right? What is it they know that I don't? Coach Frankie Picasso takes you on the Mission Unstoppable.
Who are the unstoppable ones?
Can anyone stop these people?
Good evening, and I am the unstoppable coach, Frankie Picasso, and you are about to go on another Mission Unstoppable. Tonight we're heading to the Maritimes in eastern Canada, Nova Scotia in fact, to meet a man who is now a criminal because of his passion for helping those with incurable diseases like cancer reverse their death sentence with some help from nature's miracle plant. Ricky Logan Simpson is now just shy of his 59th birthday and doesn't want to live in Canada anymore. Why? Having found the cure for cancer in hemp oil, a byproduct of the marijuana plant, Rick Simpson is so passionate about this cure that he has risked incarceration by a federal court judge because of his unshakable faith in the medicinal and healing properties of this plant. Stay tuned, stay close. We'll be right back with Rick in just a moment. This is the Unstoppable Frankie Picasso. You are listening to Mission Unstoppable Radio. The time in Toronto is 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 in Chicago, 5 in Los Angeles. I'd like to take a moment to say a prayer for my dad, who is at this very moment having surgery in San Diego. Good luck to you, Dad. And I also want to thank the good folks here at Blog Talk Radio for allowing me to broadcast over their network. And I want to thank you, you know who you are, for tuning in to me each and every week and making it such a joy to bring you the Unstoppable Ones. I have the phones open in the chat room as well, so feel free to call or write if you have any questions. The number to call is 646-595-3741. Rick Simpson was charged in one of the biggest marijuana busts his province has ever seen. Over 1,000 plants were taken and destroyed in a trial that lasted 5 days. Rick was convicted of producing marijuana and possessing less than 3 kilograms of THC. Justice Felix Caccioni called the trial the most unique drug case he has ever presided over. He said he'd never heard of a drug trafficker telling the police of his plans or a dealer who didn't earn a profit from his trafficking. Mr. Simpson's actions were entirely altruistic, the judge said. There was nothing insidious in what Mr. Simpson did. He acted out of a strongly held belief in the medicinal value of marijuana and a steadfast conviction that the hemp oil he made was helping people alleviate their suffering from a variety of ailments that prescription drugs were having little impact on. This last charge was stayed, and Rick was sentenced to pay $2,000 within 6 months. Well, let's welcome Rick Simpson onto the show right now and see what he has to say about being convicted in his country of something that really where he was helping people. Good evening, Rick.
And welcome. Good evening, Frankie.
Thanks for coming on our show.
I'm sure there's a lot of people
really interested in talking to you. Now, you're an engineer by trade, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Is that correct? And something happened to you at work. You had an accident?
Yes, I suffered a head injury in 1997, and it left me with post-concussion syndrome. I wound up with this ringing in my head, and I had balance problems, and I was in very bad shape. And I went through the medical system, all the pills, down the chemical highway, but nothing seemed to help. And then in 1998, I was watching an episode of The Nature of Things with David Suzuki called Reefer Madness 2. And on this episode, it showed a lot of people using marijuana, to help with their medical conditions. And it was doing wonderful things.
Now, let me stop you there for one sec. Did you see Reefer Madness when you were a teenager or a young adult?
Oh, no. I've seen Reefer Madness in the last few years, but no, I had never seen the original one from the 1930s. This was an episode of The Nature of Things. It was called Reefer Madness 2. I guess it was in reference to the original movie.
Right. Yeah, I was just curious if you had seen Reefer Madness. I remember seeing Reefer Madness.
That's a truly laughable movie, believe me.
It is a laughable movie, and I'm just a couple years younger than you, and so I think I was maybe 15 or 16 when I went to see it, but it was pretty funny. did you ever smoke pot as a teenager or young adult?
No, actually, I never really smoked pot until I was about 35 years old. I was never really a big pot smoker or anything, and actually, until I got hurt, I never really looked at it as medicine. You know, it was over a year after I was hurt that I'd seen this episode on The Nature of Things, and so I went out and I bought some marijuana, and I brought it home, and I tried it, and my God, it worked better than anything that the doctors were giving me. So I went right back and told them.
What were you suffering from? Like, what kind of...
Post-concussion syndrome there.
Okay,
that's
so
a lot of athletes, the hockey players, the head injuries, the concussions.
Right.
You know, some people wind up with migraine headaches and all kinds of problems.
Okay.
Mine is like migraine noise.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you smoke the dope, and that's always kind of scary to get it on the street anyway, because you don't know what you're getting.
Well, yeah, the quality can vary quite badly. But it did help, you know, like it.
Sure.
I found that it just eased it so I could get some sleep. With the noise I had in my head, I couldn't sleep or anything. I was in horrible condition.
How big a town do you live in?
Well, I live out in the country. I live about halfway between Amherst and Spring Hill, Nova Scotia.
Right. So it can't be that easy trying to find pot on the street.
Well, there's a lot more people out there growing it than the government gives it credit for. It seems like every second person.
is that right?
Yeah, it's not really that hard to find, but to find good quality, you know, that can be a little bit difficult at times.
Okay. Is that when you started to grow your own?
Yes. And well, I started playing around with it. But, you see, I had tried smoking, you know, like smoking, and it did help my medical condition. But when I went to the doctors, they wouldn't give me a prescription or anything for it, so I just stayed on the chemicals. And
why didn't
he
give you a prescription? What was his
I have no idea. I mean, every time I asked the doctors, all they would tell me, it's still under study and it's bad for the lungs, you know, stay away from marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
More just foolishness. And, I mean, they knew it was the only thing that was helping me. And my doctor, my own family doctor, let's see, 1999 or so, I was in his office one day, and again, he was refusing me, you know, to give me a prescription for it. So I said to him, I said, well, what would you think if I took the plant and made the essential oil from the plant and ate the oil?
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed with me. He said that would be a much more medicinal way of using it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I started doing. But I was just using a little bit of oil. Like, they would take me off one prescription. You know, sometimes I'd be a gap there 2 or 3 weeks, and I would fill the gap with oil or smoking marijuana. And then about 2001, well, they just completely, at that point, they said there was nothing more they could do. They tried every chemical they knew, and I was on my own. But they still would not give me a prescription for hemp. So I want to clarify this to the public. Hemp and marijuana are the same thing. Don't listen to what your government is telling you.
So hemp, all these hemp drinks and hemp seeds in cereal and hemp clothes and purses and all these hemp things that are happening in tea, that's marijuana.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so, I mean, basically what the government's trying to tell people, like, you know, well, hemp is one thing, marijuana is another.
Mm-hmm.
They're all really the hemp plant, hemp or cannabis plant, whatever you want to call it. But there are strains of cannabis that have very low levels of THC. Well, the government has said, okay, that's hemp. But in the 1930s, they needed a word to villainize hemp to the public, so they chose marijuana. And that's what they've been shoving down our throat ever since. And I personally hate the word.
Right, yeah. Now, there was, I know that, you know, dealing with chronic pain, I had chronic pain, and dealing with chronic pain, I was offered some marijuana by my physician and said, you know, this might work for you when other things aren't working for you. Dr. Helen Hayes, University of Alberta, she's working with chronic pain sufferers since 1981, and she said most of the evidence is anecdotal. And that's what we hear a lot, and I'm sure that's what you were hearing, is that your evidence is anecdotal.
What's anecdotal about a plant that's been
anecdotal?
Used in medicine for 5,000 years? What's anecdotal about that? You know,
well,
I mean,
what's anecdotal about the people that you've helped and yourself?
That's right.
Now, not only did you have this concussion, which did those migraines heal, by the way? Did they stop?
Oh, no, I still have the noise in my head, but the oil lets me live with it. You know, when you have a loud noise, like this is like a loud, it's almost like having a tuning fork in your head.
Right.
What I find with the oil, it just makes it takes my mind off, you know, off the noise, and I can live my life again. But
do you have
in
a
2000,
with?
What's that?
Are you married? Do you have a family?
No, I'm not there.
Okay. So
in 2001, when they cut me off, they said, you know, no more pharmaceuticals. Well, so that was fine with me because, I mean, at that point, I was as dumb as a post. Those chemicals had really had an effect on me and all, you know, very negative.
Right.
So I started taking the oil regularly, you know, on a regular basis. And within about 6 months, I was noticing, you know, my mind was coming back and people around me seeing the difference. There was no question.
Well, that was my question. Did people see a difference with you smoking the pot, taking the drugs, the illegal drugs that the doctors were writing for you, the prescriptives? Did people see any difference when you were taking the oil?
Oh, yes, big difference. See, this is really, I don't go down so much the smoking path. I'm not about, you know, this is never really about about legalizing marijuana.
Right.
It's, you know, they've denied the medicinal use to so many suffering Canadians, you know,
right.
and it's ridiculous. I mean, this is man's oldest known and safest medication. It is totally non-addictive and has been known throughout history to be the most medicinal plant on earth. Now, what did the Canadian government think they were doing in 1923 when they took the most medicinal, harmless plant on earth out of medicine? I mean, you could take a bucketful of this oil and eat it, and it would not kill you. It's the only, it's the safest medication in the world. But
Rick, every country in the world will charge you. Every country will charge you with possession.
Because the big money has done it worldwide. I mean, they've enforced the United Nations, the Single Convention Treaty. You must agree to keep cannabis from your people if you want to be with the United Nations. Well, that's a wonderful plan, isn't it? You know, it's all been done by big money and corruption because they don't want that plant around. It's a threat. It is a very big threat to these big corporations. Because what people have to realize, this medicine, it is truly a cure-all. It's the most wonderful medicine on earth. But that plant also produces, when you think of hemp, you should be thinking petroleum. Because, I mean, 1 acre of hemp will produce about 500 gallons of methanol per acre. That means, and plus it will produce another 100 gallons of hemp seed oil, which you can burn as biodiesel. So that means, 3 to 4 acres of hemp would supply all of the energy needs required for an average rural household. Plus, it would run their cars and their equipment. You know, we would be self-sufficient. We wouldn't be at the mercy of the big money anymore. That's what they don't want. I mean, when you look at paper today, we can make all our paper. We don't need to be cutting down the trees. You know, hemp could supply all the paper, and you can make text. You can make anything with this. I mean, Henry Ford built a car out of it.
Wow.
So there's just no end to the uses. I think there's something right now 25,000 different things you can make from hemp.
So,
when you think about that, dear, just think about 500 gallons of it's alcohol. Now,
right.
500 gallons of alcohol, do you know how far that would take your car? You know, when you fill up your tank, you're putting 10, 15 gallons in.
Right, right.
So when you're talking about, 500 gallons, that's going to take you a long ways.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And it's probably a lot cheaper than what we're seeing today.
Well, it would put people back on the land. You know, that's what's wrong today. People, we've all gone into the cities, work in the factory. Well, you know, we're using up fossil fuels at an alarming rate. Plus, the use of these fuels are damaging our environment. And we know it. And nobody's doing a thing about it because the big oil companies and whatnot, they want it that way. Well, we live on this planet, too, and we have a say. And if the public would just stand up and demand their rights and demand this medicine, it would happen tomorrow.
Okay, so let's go back because you had the concussion, but you also got skin cancer.
Yes. I'd had these little spots for a few years. And I went into my doctor. This was after they took me off stopped giving me the drugs. About a year later, I was into his office, and I showed him these areas. And I had one next to my eye, and I had one on my cheek and one on my chest. So he was quite concerned about the one next to my eye, so they took me in, and it was removed surgically. So it was about a week after the operation. I was sitting at home and looking at it. It was all infected and angry-looking. And what had happened, in 1972, my cousin died at 25 from cancer. I watched him go from 200 pounds down to about 55 pounds when he died. And about 3 years later, the local radio station, CKDH here in Amherst, I was leaving work this day, and the announcer came on the radio, and he was laughing at the time. And he said, this report just in, THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, has been found to kill cancer cells. But he was laughing all through it, so I didn't know to take it, whether to take it serious or not. But it stuck in my mind. So here I was, like 30 years later, they'd already operated on the spot by my eye, and I had these two other spots that I was supposed to go in and have operated on, and that report bounced back into my brain. So I took a little bit of that oil, and I put it on the other two spots of skin cancer that hadn't, you know, that hadn't been operated on. Well, I put it on. I mean, I didn't think it would work. It was just all too simple. But I went down to the bathroom 4 days later. I just put bandages on it. 4 days later, I took the bandages off. The cancer was gone. Within 7 weeks, the one that they had removed by my eye, it came right back. And I watched it develop. And anybody that's ever had basal cell carcinoma, they know what it feels like. It's like a splinter in the face and puffed up and bleeding. Very, very nasty. And so I watched it come back for about a week, week and a half. And I went down. I put a little dab of oil on it and a bandage. 4 days later, it was cured. So I was, you know, at that point, I was quite excited about it all. So
okay.
I went right down to my doctor.
Okay, so let me stop you there for a second. I got to ask a question. Hang on.
Sure.
Don't run away.
Okay.
Okay, so you put a Band-Aid on this, the reoccurrence of the carcinoma that you had just had taken out.
Yes.
And so the doctor saw the before. The doctor was now about to see the after. It's no longer anecdotal. You know?
No, it's not anecdotal at all.
What did he say?
They wouldn't talk to me. I when I went into the office, I went down to see the doctor. He's like a country doctor. He lives in Pugwash, and his wife was the receptionist. And you know, I had a great deal of respect for the man. And but when I went in, I asked her for my pathology report, and she gave it to me, and it said basal cell carcinoma, totally excised. I mean, they always tell you like we got it all, but they never do. And so when I got the pathology report, I just mentioned to her, I said, I'd like to come back in the evening sometime and talk to your husband about something I've been working on. And she looked at me and she said, well, what's this about? And I said, well, that cancer I had removed, I said, it came right back. And I said, and the other two cancers, I put hemp oil on them and they're gone. You know, the hemp oil cured them. And the woman just, she went rigid. You know, like I couldn't believe it. She started yelling, like, the doctor will not go there. The doctor will not prescribe this. Now, I mean, I'm standing in the waiting room of my doctor's office, and there's other people there, and this woman is going ballistic. And I got out of there that day, and I remember driving home, and I got in the truck, and it was like being in the Twilight Zone. Like, you know, what is going on here? Like, I cured my own cancer. Shouldn't my doctor want to know how I did it?
Well,
and I mean,
yeah,
that time,
you would think so.
I was quite naive at that time about, you know, THC, and I didn't understand that much about it. But, you know, the medical system
had
nothing.
But it's not just the THC. Hang on. It's not just the THC and the marijuana. It's anything that any patient brings to the medical community, that any doctor brings to the medical community that is not approved by the drug industry. They are typically and characteristically uncurious, if that's a word. Nobody, they don't want to know. They don't even ask questions. They don't even blink an eye and go, oh, wow, that's interesting. No, not well, even that much. It's
you'd be
incredible.
You'd be surprised how hard it is to get someone to understand something when their job depends on them not understanding it.
Exactly.
That's exactly what's going on here.
Now, what I found really interesting about you, Rick, was that, okay, you cured your own cancer. You've helped your headaches. You began to grow the plant and make the hemp oil.
Yes.
How did people, and so did you just go talking to everybody like, wow, I cured my own cancer, and people started to come to you? Is that what happened? How did you become known as the guy with the hemp oil, and how did you go out and start treating over 300 people?
Well, I treated over 1,000 people, dear.
Wow.
That's just an old newspaper report you're referring to.
Okay. So over 1,000 people have been treated using hemp oil today. Now, not all of them were cancer, were they?
Oh, no. No, we're treating people for basically everything. Any disease, MS, chronic pain, arthritis. I mean, this stuff will even stop a toothache. It's just amazing what it does. But I started, actually the first person I treated besides myself was my own mother. She had some weeping psoriasis on her foot that she couldn't get rid of. And so I told her what it had done for my cancer, so we tried it on the psoriasis and cleared it up in no time. And then I just kept bumping into people, you know, like this different people I knew that had problems, and I'd get them to try the oil. But I was, at the, like the first while, I was doing everything topically. I was, you know, like people with skin conditions, skin cancers, that type of thing. It takes like warts and moles, all of that. It takes all of that away too. So I was just, you know, kind of experimenting. And then it was about a year and a half, or it was over a year after I'd cured my own cancer before I actually gave it to someone to eat the same as I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you continue to eat this or only when you needed it?
Oh, I use it for, it's like for, see, I can't sleep very well with this noise unless I have the oil.
Oh, right.
And it controls my blood pressure. That's another good thing about it. And any pain or anything like that, it's great for pain. So it's done nothing but wonders for me.
So you don't have to smoke it to get rid of your headache. You can just
put
a little dab on your cheek.
I mean, although, I freely admit to smoking marijuana myself, or hemp, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, the way I look at hemp, the minute you take a marijuana joint and light it on fire, over 90% of the medicinal aspect of that plant just went up in smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But when you eat the raw, unburned THC, then magic happens. Because your body, your body will build up a tolerance for it, and people with cancer, even people with serious cancer, usually it takes about 3 months for them to take the treatment, and the idea is they have to eat about 2 ounces of this oil over that period of time. It's just a small amount of oil,
mm-hmm.
but what we find usually at the end of 3 months, the cancer's gone.
Wow.
And I'm talking about lung cancers, brain cancers, bowel cancer, prostate, bone. I don't care where it is.
So these are people that the doctors have sent home and said, I can't help you, just go home and die.
Oh, yes, I've treated a lot of
good
that.
Good luck to you. Well, God bless you.
Well,
and then,
well,
then and
all
then
they
want
to do is fill you full of painkillers until until the end comes.
And then they find
risk symptoms. I've seen this oil take people right off their deathbeds.
Right.
I mean, we had one gentleman who was given 24 hours to live, and his son went right into the hospital. He asked the doctor to give his dad the oil. The doctor wouldn't do it, so he went in and did it. The next day, his father left the hospital.
Wow. Okay, so let's tell folks how to watch the Run for the Cure.
Run from the Cure.
From
the Cancer Society does the Run for the Cure. We've got the cure,
the
and they won't come in our direction.
They do the Run for the Cure, and so now you're doing the Run from the Cure. So folks can watch that on YouTube. They can go to Phoenix Tears. Is it .com to see that video as well?
PhoenixTears.ca. Actually, we put in the video, in the documentary we did, we showed people how to make their own medicine. All you need is the hemp, and you can make your own medicine at home. And we put up, under making the medicine at Phoenix Tears, we put up a written version, a recipe that, is very precise, and it's easy to follow. And now we have people all over the world making the oil for their loved ones.
The only caveat is that you can blow yourself up, right?
Well, you can, but I mean, when you have a loved one dying, the idea, have to boil the solvent off. The fumes from the solvent will are flammable. But if you do it in a safe manner, there's really not much danger.
So let's, I just want to, hang on here, I just wanted to read something. You didn't want to do any of this illegally, but for one thing, you did write to the Canadian Cancer Society, and I'm going to take this quotation because it's copied from their pages that you copied into your letter. You said, the ultimate goal of basic cancer research is twofold: coming up with a rare breakthrough discovery that will help prevent, control, or even cure cancer, and contributing a small but significant bit of knowledge that will help other scientists as they work on their own piece of the cancer puzzle. That is part of the mission and vision statement from the Canadian Cancer Society. You wrote them a letter, and you said, in this regard, I am contacting you about a simple herbal cure for cancer. I've been in touch with politicians and governments concerning this drug, but they appear to be sitting on their hands in regard to what I wish to do. As I understand it, about 1,300 people die every week in Canada from cancer, and I would have thought that curing this dreaded disease would be at the top of any government's agenda, but alas, this does not seem to be the case. I hope your organization can look beyond the propaganda that we have all been fed regarding hemp. Extracts made from high-quality hemp are the most therapeutically active substances imaginable if they are properly made. Okay, that letter goes on. I'm not going to read the whole letter. The letter goes on, and you get a response back from them. And what do they say?
Yes, basically, they didn't want anything to do with it. They don't endorse herbal substances, and very sickening when you get a reply like that from the Canadian Cancer Society. But I had been. I mean, I was to David Suzuki. He was the first one I went to over this because
right.
He was
and
very.
What did he have
Well, I
did he respond?
Yes, they responded. I sent them the letter and a bunch of information and an article called The Case for Hemp. It's
mm-hmm.
available at gozarks.com. You would have to go into their archives to dig it out, but it's a very good piece about man's use of hemp all through history. And
mm-hmm.
towards the end of it, it has many medical studies in there, all saying the same thing. THC kills cancer. So, I mean, they've known this for decades, so why aren't they using it? You know, it's just total insanity.
Well, you know, we know why they're not using it.
Yes, we know. And when we know the only way it's ever going to stop is we have to stand up and tell them to stop.
So in that regard, then, you've been healing people. You've had over 1,000 people come. You've been making this for them. Then they had the biggest drug bust in history where they took over 1,000 of your plants and destroyed them, I'm assuming.
Well, the numbers there have always been in dispute. The honest truth is I had about 1,620 hemp plants in my backyard when the RCMP arrived in 2005. And,
so
and that's the number
backyard?
I gave them. I told them exactly what I had. But they,
you didn't
the
even
papers,
call the RCMP, didn't you, to tell them that you were going to be growing marijuana for medicinal purposes?
I took a videotape into them.
Right.
See, in the spring of 2005, well, I treated so many people around here, and people knew that it worked. So we
right.
had a general, like a public meeting at the Royal Canadian Legion in Macan. And like we videotaped the meeting. There were several patients present. We videotaped the meeting. And then I sent videotapes of this meeting to W5 and the Fifth Estate. And then I took a copy of this same tape into the RCMP in May, I guess it was May, early May of 2005. And I gave them the tape along with a letter because I told them that I wanted some local politicians charged with criminal negligence causing death because these people were not doing their job. I'd been to them all. They wouldn't even look at it. So, I mean, with all, we're in the middle of a cancer epidemic and here are these politicians, I mean, they won't go there.
Right.
So it was truly frustrating. But so I gave all this to the RCMP, and actually I had a man come with me, and he videotaped me taking it right into them. That way they couldn't say they got it, didn't get it. And I asked them on the video, I asked them for what they confiscated, so I could make more to make more medicine. And so I never heard a word back from them. And about 3 months later, on August 3rd, the same detachment I dropped that tape off to, they came and raided me. And they all said they knew nothing about this tape. So there's your RCMP.
They raided you, but did they arrest you?
Oh, yes,
time?
I was arrested and charged.
Okay.
I was, with cultivation, trafficking, even though I was giving it away.
Right.
The minute you see today in Canada, the minute you even pass one joint, if I pass you a joint, that's trafficking.
Right.
Although there's no
right.
money involved, it's still trafficking under their system. It makes no sense.
Now, The judge said he said something about that you were distributing the hemp oil illegally because you didn't want to participate in the federal government's medical marijuana program.
That's
what is that medical
lie.
Marijuana program?
I asked dozens of doctors for a prescription, but they wouldn't give it to me. And I was told that even if I could get a prescription from my doctor, I would need two reports from specialists. And that would all have to be sent into Health Canada, and then they would let me know if I could get a license or not. But Health Canada, during the court cases, Health Canada came right out and said it wouldn't do any good, even if they had given me a license, because there was no provision under Canadian law for anyone to produce the essential oil of the hemp plant, like I was.
Right.
There's you're not allowed to do it. Even if you have a license to grow and possess it, you are not allowed to gather the resins, and you are not allowed to make the oil. The reason being...
Is there a law that says that?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what the Health Canada, right from the Marijuana Access Program. They testified to that right on the stand. But you are not allowed to make the oil. And the reason is because the pharmaceutical industry knows the oil is a medicine. And, of course, the government's corrupt enough to go along with them.
Mm-hmm. We have some folks in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. So, Mark, thanks for your comments. And if you'd like to call in, please call in and speak to Rick. Give us your comments. How do you feel about this? Should marijuana be legalized medicinally, at least? Should folks be allowed to grow their own cure. 646-595-3741. I do want to hear from you. I'd like to know what you think about this. As you listen to Rick, typically this is not a druggie. This is not somebody who's an addict. It's not somebody, because it's kind of hard to be a marijuana drug addict. But
it's very hard.
But,
Well, I mean, I was 55 years old, Frankie. But I'd never had a drug charge in my life. I'm taking this as medicine. And the reason that I continued doing it, I mean, after I treated my mother and all these different people, and I was contacting everyone that should have cared, you know. I mean, I even went to the United Nations, for God's sakes. But no one would do anything. But, I mean, I knew in my heart, and all of these people suffering and dying for no reason, I mean, it was right to grow that plant and to make the medicine and to help them. I mean, to me, it was just an act of conscience. And I couldn't understand. I mean, in 2005 when they raided me, I thought, these people must be asleep. So back in 2006, I put another 1,100 in my backyard. And they came back again in 2006 and took them. But this time, they didn't even have a search warrant. They just come in and they said, we're with the marijuana eradication program. And they just went in the backyard. They never arrested me. They never searched the house. They never did a thing. They just went in the backyard and took the plants.
Okay. So in our legal laws, I don't know if they're provincial laws or if they're federal laws, did you see anything? I'm sure that you've read them by now. Have you seen anything in there that states that they can come and seize without a search warrant? Is there anything in there that says anything like that?
Well, under these new regulations that Mr. Harper is putting in place, basically we're down this way. I don't know what it's like up in Ontario or whatnot, but I mean, they're flying around everybody's backyard with helicopters, hovering about 10
right.
feet off the ground. It's pathetic what's going on. And, I even, during the court case, they had a marijuana expert there from the RCMP, and he didn't really prove to be much of an expert. But I asked him, I said, how much of the money allotted to the RCMP for drugs is spent pursuing marijuana? And he told me, he said, over 60%. I said, over 60%
really?
Of your funding goes to pursue the most medicinal plant in the world. Does that make any sense? Who died from hemp?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been told about all of these, oh, it's a gateway drug. It's not. Hemp was never a gateway drug. Actually, it was used years ago to take people off of opium and to alcoholics. It was used the same, more or less, as the idea as methadone is today. But methadone
right.
is very dangerous and very harmful. They should be using hemp.
Mm-hmm. You're not tired of this subject yet. I mean, you're running for office now.
Well, to me,
tell us about the election and what you're doing.
Well, I ran in the last federal election back a couple, 2.5 years ago, and I did get about 524 votes, which wasn't bad. I mean, the riding that I'm in down here.
Town?
Pardon me?
Yeah. How big is your riding?
The riding there's usually about 40,000 people voting in the whole riding.
Okay.
So I got about 500 and some odd votes, which wasn't too bad, I guess. But at the time,
you're running
I think
as an
my
independent.
Message... Pardon me?
I'm sorry. I just want to get all of this out there. You're running as an independent candidate.
Yes. In this election, yes. I was an independent in the last one, too.
As a medical, on a medical ticket?
Well, that's always been my platform. It's really about the papers try to paint me as the one-issue candidate. Well, hemp is not one issue. It's the key to mankind's future. I mean, it's what got us here. Without hemp, mankind would not be where we are today. But we have to realize that these fossil fuels and everything we're burning up, all these pharmaceutical companies, it's just all about the money. We have to go back to Mother Earth, and we have to go back to the plants like hemp to provide us with the things that we need, especially the medicine.
Rick, let me ask you, when folks say, well, people who smoke pot, they just get hungry. They get lazy.
Well, that's nonsense. I mean, some of the most productive people I know have smoked pot for 40 years. Actually, there was studies done years ago. There was one country in Africa that they outlawed, the British had them outlaw hemp, and there was a big mining firm in that country. So when it was outlawed, all the mine workers, they stopped using it, and productivity went right down. So the big mining company with the money, of course, they go to the government and say, well, we want our employees to be able to smoke this stuff. So that was allowed. As soon as it was allowed, back up the production went right back up again. If anything, hemp, I think you can get more done, actually, with hemp.
John Mark is in our web room here, our chat room, and he said that Susan Komen raised $1 billion for cancer and Rick has a cure. So where did that $1 billion go? Good question.
Good question.
Well,
right.
I'm sure it went to the pharmaceutical companies.
That's exactly where it goes.
Who need those monies for the trials and to make pills and to get, approved. It takes a fortune to get a pill approved. And I mean, when you think about it, I mean, think about it for 1 second. When you see those commercials on television telling you, here's a fantastic pill. This is a pill that you need for stomach pain, for acid reflux, for whatever it is that ails you. But it's going to give you acute liver failure. It's going to give you this. It's going to give you that. I mean, they have to tell you all the bad things. And it's like you may as well. It's like smoking. And here, we'll give you Drano, and we'll give you all of these horrible things. Are you going to take that pill?
People have to realize
they're taking the pills. It's incredible that they're running to take these pills, and yet the side effects and what they're putting into their bodies, they're not even thinking about.
That's right. I mean, people have to realize that if you want real medicine, you have to go back to do the same thing our forefathers did. They found their medicine in nature, and that's where you find real medicine. These chemicals they use today, I mean, chemotherapy, that is a sick joke. I mean, all of these doctors send their cancer patients for chemo, but yet when you read all of these well-known medical journals like The Lancet, they come right out and say chemotherapy is just a faster way to die. Chemotherapy is ineffective in the treatment of cancer. So why are they, why are they using this stuff?
Well, it doesn't make sense.
And look at radiation.
They kill everything. They don't just kill the bad cells. They kill the good cells.
It just knocks your immune system completely out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, radiation. People went left and right for radiation. Well, radiation causes cells to mutate. And that's what cancer is, mutating cells. So, in other words, you might burn a tumor down with radiation, but at the same time, even if you could burn the tumor until it was gone, the effects of that radiation in the end will probably give you cancer again. So that to me, there's not a viable treatment out there.
You've been doing this for, what, over 10 years, right? More.
Well, no, I've been doing it, since about 99 is when I started taking the oil, but I didn't start taking it steadily until about 2000, would have been about the summer of 2001.
What do you think was which was the very worst case that you had? Was it the brain cancer one, or which was the very worst case that you helped?
I think probably the worst was a gentleman right here from McCann. His name was Ed Dwyer, and what had happened, he was an 82-year-old veteran, and he had been, the doctors had him, he was a diabetic, and the doctors had him on, I think it was about 15 or 16 different prescriptions. And the doctor changed his prescription, and they sent him into the, what happened is he couldn't urinate. He shut his kidneys down. So they took him into the hospital to find out what was going on and to try to get him regulated again, and then they found out that he had lung cancer. So they sent him for chemotherapy. Well, one dose of chemotherapy, and he come back, and when he come home, he swelled up like a balloon. He swelled up so bad his legs split open.
Oh, my God.
In no time, he was in the Amherst Hospital on his deathbed, and, his lungs filled right full of fluid. He was drowning on his own fluid, and he was just, in horrible condition. So Rick had gone in, Rick Dwyer had gone in, and he gave his father the dose of the oil. The next day, his father left the hospital. Within about a month, they found that he didn't use insulin anymore because the oil apparently had got his pancreas working again. He went off all his pharmaceutical medications. Every one of them went in the trash can. So I would think that Ed was more like one of the most amazing cases I ever seen, although I've had several cases that were similar. I mean, amazing stories. When you work with this medicine, like, miracles happen every day.
Well, we do want to hear about some of the cases, but here is where I was leading you. Do you remember what year that was?
With Ed Dwyer?
Yeah.
That would be 2006.
2006. Okay. So do you have any cases other than yourself, let's say, that are over 5 years?
No. I mean, I've only been supplying it to people for about 5.5 years now. So I'm over 5 years. There's soon going to be people within the next year or so. There'll be quite a few of them that have gone over the 5 years.
Okay, and 5 years seems to be the benchmark for, you know, the reoccurrence, I think, of cancer. If it gets to the 5-year mark and you don't have it, you're probably going to be okay. Probably not.
Well, that's what they tell us, but that's not really true.
That's what they tell you.
They have a real sick way of rating, you know, people. Like, if you're alive, like, if you're treated for cancer and you live for 5 years, then you're a success story. You could die 2 weeks later from the disease, but they still count you as, you know, the cured.
Right,
I mean,
right.
what I see here with the medical system, they're not curing cancer. And and an awful lot of these operations I see, you know, I think over 90% of operations are actually just make work projects for the doctors. You know, if you have the real medicine, you can heal your problems without being cut to ribbons.
Well, they're the cream on the, you know, the cake of the next yacht, the next whatever. How many, so has anybody had a reoccurrence since they started on the hemp? Has anybody had to come back and say, you know what, I got it back again?
Well, I had one fellow, but what had happened, he was very slow taking the treatment, and he kept, well, another problem he had, he kept going in for CAT scans. And I tell people, you know, CAT scans, like one x-ray is dangerous. I mean, you go into that x-ray department, they don't wear those lead aprons for no reason. But when you go for a CAT scan, it's like taking 10,000 x-rays. So it's a massive dose of radiation, and I tell people that, you know, don't do it. But they listen to their doctors. And I did have one there that recurred, but, since then he's taken the oil and he's doing fine.
Wow.
But it didn't recur in the same spot. It recurred in another spot.
Mm-hmm.
He had terminal
and
lymphoma.
And the folks with the MS, they're okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the MS, we've got, people, like, you know, since we put the documentary Run From The Cure, now people worldwide, you know, all over the place now are making the medicine, and we're getting these results back with people with MS. It's not just treating their disease, it's curing it.
Now, I've heard from some healers that once they've had the chemo, that there's no coming back from that. Have you had people who've had chemo that have started the hemp oil and were able to cure themselves?
Oh, yes. Yes. Basically, what we've seen, people that come here and they've had a diagnosis, a lot of people are just diagnosed and they're just, you know, the cancer is so advanced, you just tell them to go home and die. Well, people like that, we've had, pretty well 100% batting average. But even people that have been damaged badly by chemotherapy and radiation, in 75 to 80% of cases, if they'll take the medicine the right way, you know, in 75 to 80% of cases, we can save them. But there are about 20% that have been so badly damaged by the chemotherapy that no matter, even if you can cure their cancer, the damage the chemotherapy has done to their internal organs in the end kills them. I mean, people have to realize that chemotherapy is just poison. That's all it is.
Right.
And it damages, every time you take a dose of chemo, it damages every internal organ in your body, including your brain.
So if I was to take this for 3 months, if I had cancer, let's say, and I was to take it for 3 months and I got cured, is that it? I don't have to take it anymore, or do I have to take it for my life, or what's the story?
Oh, no, Frankie. Basically, it's up to the person themselves. I mean, there's absolutely no addictive nature to it. People forget to take it. But at the end of the treatment, it's, you know, you can just stop the treatment and walk away. But most people, they want to take, like, maintenance doses, like one or two drops a week, just to keep the THC in their system. Because, you know, it's good for your body.
So you said in the beginning that they would take 2 ounces. Is that 2 ounces over a 3-month period?
Yes. It's usually between 55 to 60 grams of this oil. It's only a small amount.
Well, that's just like a little dab. And they put it on the inside of their cheek. Is that how they do it?
I just take a dab in my finger and I scrape it on my teeth, and because it's like a thick grease anyway. And then I take a drink of cold water and then I just flip it off my teeth and I swallow it like a pill. You can put a little dab on bread or something like that and fold it over, if you don't like the taste. There's all kinds of different ways of taking it, but the main thing is to get it into your body.
Right. Jonathan, if you got the cure for cancer, why would you want to stop taking it to keep you in good health? Well, I just thought, well, you're cured. You maybe didn't have to take it anymore. It's like anything,
You know, it's the preventative aspect of this medicine that to me, like, I mean, why not prevent disease? If people would take this oil, they could prevent diseases like diabetes. They couldn't, any somebody on the oil, you won't get diabetes, MS, cancer. So many of these horrible diseases could be prevented entirely if people would just take small doses of this oil. I'm not talking about anyone getting high. It's just small doses of this oil. Keep the level of THC built up, little level of THC up in your system, and you'll prevent these diseases. And once you're used to the oil, like people can't, you can't tell when, I mean, I can take huge gobs of this oil, and I've had people come here and watch me like 4 or 5 hours, and you can't even tell that I have it in me. I can drive my car. I'm not impaired. It doesn't impair your motor skills. That's another thing they're trying to shove down the Canadians' throats here. It's all about, you know, like, well, it's the same as alcohol. Well, alcohol impairs your motor skills. Hemp does not. Now, what about all of those pharmaceutical drugs those doctors are throwing around so freely? You know, all of these morphines and painkillers. I mean, do you think these people that are driving cars on those aren't impaired?
Well,
hemp
yeah,
does not impair
are.
You.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's incredible that somebody who's doing something so good can get so, I guess, lost. It's really lost in the system because the system is, I mean, there's only one word for it. It's ludicrous, it's stupid, it's absurd that nobody wants to listen.
My father fought in Normandy for this country. He was badly wounded. And when I see what this country has become today, I mean, not much wonder I'm disillusioned. And at one point, I was planning on leaving this country and going to South America. But, you know, like if everybody runs away, then they'll win. I mean, we have to stand our ground. We have to tell the truth. And, you know, we have to fight.
Well, you certainly are passionate about it.
When you cure your own cancer with this oil, how can you not be passionate about it? And I see these miracles every day. I mean, I had 2 calls this morning, 2 terminal cancer patients, both doing great. You know, this is, how do you turn your back on this? And the system, I mean, the system knew, the government knew, the even the court system. When I first went into the court system, the first thing I did, I walked over and I gave the Crown Prosecutor a copy of that same tape I'd given to the RCMP. There was the patients on it, you know, and I thought that they would take this and look at it and realize this doesn't belong in a court. I thought they would take it and throw it right back in the government's lap. But instead, no, it's just like, it doesn't matter what he was doing with it. He was breaking the law. And that's the way they went about it. Like, I mean, they knew, and that's the reason when, you know, even during the court case, they would not let my patients on the stand. I had people there that had been cured with terminal cancer, and they would not let them speak.
What was their reasoning?
No reasoning. It's just
no
that we don't care what you were using it for. The only issue is here, did you grow it? And did you give it to people? Well, I never ever denied that. I always made it pretty. I mean, I had a full page article done by a newspaper. Well, in 2004, a year before I was ever charged, the Spring Hill Record did a full page article detailing all of my activities curing cancer with hemp. It was no secret. Everyone knew. So I mean, I went about this in the most open manner possible. I never tried to hide anything. I told the RCMP I was growing it, and I gave the medicine away. Now tell me where I did something wrong. You know, I mean, this country has made me into a criminal. Well, I wear the badge proudly because we all know who the real criminals are, and they're right there in Ottawa, and the big money behind them. They're the criminals.
But Rick, have you ever seen those antiquated laws that they forget to take off the books, like? Horses can't drink, you know, water in the middle of the street, or women can't wear pants, or the silliest, most stupid laws, and you wonder how they even got made, and yet somebody forgot to take them off the books, kind of thing. Have you ever seen those kinds of laws? I mean, I remember reading some of the ludicrous things that I can't even remember what they are now, but like, oh my God, I can't believe that, you know, you weren't allowed to do that. Like, you know, it was like a horse and a donkey can't be next to each other. That's the kind of stupidity I'm talking about. And this is the same kind of law. It needs to be changed. Have you taken it to Ottawa? Have you gone into a meeting of into the Senate, into have you done anything like that?
I've sent 2 proposals in 2003. I sent a proposal to the Federal Minister of Health, Anne McClellan, detailing the whole thing. I never even got a response from her. A year later, I went back, and Yulal Dessange, he was the Minister of Health at that time, I sent him another proposal, and about 6 months later, I got a letter back from him telling me that I was breaking the law, and that I should go to Health Canada. Well, if he's the Minister of Health, isn't he the guy that runs it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they would not come near this. I mean, W5, when we sent them out the video originally, back in 2005, we heard no word back. Then in 2006, they come in here and closed the Legion down. The Royal Canadian Legion, our local Legion, was closed over this issue, which was totally insane.
Wait a minute. They closed the local Legion. These are the sons of people who have gone to war, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They closed the Legion because you met there over this issue, or why would they close
the
Legion?
Well, the Legion backed me. So many, the membership backed me in an open letter. We put an open letter out to all the politicians, the police, doctors, the Cumberland Health Authority. All of these people, please attend this meeting. We would like some explanations. And I was bringing patients to the meeting and everything. It was a public meeting. The day it was to be held, the RCMP came in that morning with Maritime Command and shut the Legion down. So there's so much for your Royal Canadian Legion. They're a fraud, too, because right in their book it says the Royal Canadian Legion is to have no government affiliations. Government stepped in here, and they kowtowed to them. And they are now, honestly, what happened, this little Legion over here used to have a membership of about 130 people. Now they've got 30-some. They lost all of their membership. The Legion's going under. You know, the community don't support them anymore. And why should they? Because they know what they did. They didn't stand for the right thing.
Right. I don't understand how they could close a Legion.
Well, I would have never believed this. When I first started this thing 5 years ago, I mean, it was 5.5 years, I thought that they wanted a cure. And going to all of these different organizations and all these different politicians and TV shows and seeing that they don't want to even talk to you. You know,
I
couldn't believe it.
I would have thought, Rick, that we had come far enough, especially, I mean, today I was in the grocery store and I picked up, you know, I was in the health food section. I was looking at chia seeds and I found this cereal and it said hemp. Hemp was in the cereal in my local grocery store. Hemp was in, you know, the makeup. Hemp is in, you know, this and that. I mean, it's everywhere. You can't go anywhere without seeing hemp today. I don't understand how they're so afraid of you know, making the oil and selling it. Even if they had to govern it, at least they'd be curing people.
Well, see, what I always proposed here, dear, was not so much about selling it. To me, like, you can grow this product, you can grow hemp just like you can grow corn. Now, a pound of corn isn't worth anything, and if hemp was grown freely, a pound of hemp wouldn't be worth anything. What I had always proposed was a production facility, produce the oil, make it available to the public on a donation basis. That way, if you don't have the money, you still get the medicine, because that's what medicine should be about. Instead, made it all about money.
Yeah, absolutely. They made it all about money. Absolutely.
I mean, I think our own rights, you know, as human beings, this is herbal medicine we're talking about. This is not a destructive plant. This plant does no harm. And the only reason, the main ones, like I said, the oil industry and the pharmaceutical industry, I mean, back in the 1800s, every pharmaceutical basically every pharmaceutical company in North America was producing hemp medicines. They did it for decades. And people ask me, I tell them, I said, I think they've probably been able to cure cancer since probably around 1850. Because back in the 1800s, these companies would go out and buy these, or grow these medicinal herbs, produce the essential oils from them, and purify them and sell them to the public as medicine. Well, the minute you make the essential oil from the hemp plant, you're making the same stuff that I made. And the medicine that they did provide from the hemp plant, what they would do, they would take a little bit of oil and put it in the bottom of a bottle, and then fill it with alcohol and put an eyedropper in it and sell it as a cannabis tincture. Well, that's what that is. That's watered down hemp medicine. They never give the public the real medicine. They watered it down.
Okay, so, you know what? We need to go somewhere. We need to go somewhere. We need to go to Bill C-51, because if you are out there listening to this and you think, well, you know, that's marijuana, that's a drug, you know, of course the government's going to get involved. Of course they're not going to let you take it.
Well, what I'm telling the public
talk
is they're
about
lying.
Bill C-51. Because if you think that this is bad, what about when you are arrested for giving your children vitamins because
they're
an active ingredient? Yeah,
well,
that's what's going to happen. They're trying to push this one through so fast, and it's going to be illegal to give your kids vitamins.
In 1923, the Canadian government started outlawing the natural when they outlawed the hemp plant. And now today with this bill C-51, they want to finish the job. One of these days, you probably won't even be able to buy an orange. You know, they want to control it all. If it's medicinal, you can't have it. Now, I mean, if the people on this planet are willing to put up with this nonsense, maybe they deserve what they get. But, I mean, why can't people wake up and realize, I mean, our food supply today is not even safe to eat, even the air we breathe. We're poisoning this planet, and this plant, this one plant, I mean, if you, like when you plant a hemp plant in, say, soil that's been with a lot of toxins in it, it detoxifies the soil. You know, what more could you ask? And look at the fibers, and my God, some of the nicest fiber in the world can be made from this. And right up, like I said, until the early 1900s, I mean, this was basically over half the medicine that was produced worldwide came from the hemp plant. That's how we got here. Plus, it was used for everything. But since they've outlawed it, I mean, this is where we sit today in this synthetic world. And that has to come to an end because, you know, like I said, the fossil fuels are running out. And we're burning up fossil fuels that I don't feel that we own. You know, I think the day is going to come that maybe the people on this earth will, the day may come when they may need these fossil fuels that we're burning up, you know, so freely.
So, Rick, let me ask you, have you reached out to, okay, there's another stance. So you have the environmental issue, plus you have the homeopathic issue. So have you linked up or tried to link up with somebody that has a lot of backbone, somebody who has a lot of clout and power that could help you?
Oh, yes. We've tried to contract several, you know, big names, but, you know, it's very hard to get through to these people. I'm deeply involved with Jack Hare in California. I mean, Jack is my hero. And Jack is, in his video, Emperor of Hemp, it was Jack that made that statement. You know, they're outlawing the natural, and he is so right.
Right.
He's a fabulous man.
But the case could still be made. You know what? You have opium from poppies, too, and that you can't have poppies, and that's outlawing the natural, too. Would you state a case for that, for or against?
Well, opium is addictive. There's no question about it. But I read a very strange report here. I have many books, you know, on old books. And I've got a report here from 1895 at the Brampton Cancer Hospital. I can't think of the doctor's name now, but he stated that opium is the only substance he has ever seen that markedly reduces the size of tumors and it will allow people to live on for years. And when I read that, I went, you know, opium? Because, I mean, I was always against opium. But then I realized in 1895 they were talking about raw opium right from the plant before it's ever processed into all of this other garbage they make, like heroin and morphine.
Right.
So
no, because vertebrates have a receptor for opium. We have that receptor in our bodies.
Yes, and our bodies are loaded with cannabinoid receptors. Thank God.
Yeah. So I'm asked here to ask you, because why not? How can we help you spread the news? How can we help you get elected? How can we help you get this law, antiquated law, taken off the books and reversed? What would you like people to do?
Well, I mean, basically, this is all about educating yourself. You know, stop believing what your government has been telling you. Look into the facts. Look into the truth. All you have to do is go to a computer, punch in THC and cancer into Google or one of these big search engines. Thousands of research papers will come up verifying exactly what I'm saying. THC kills cancer. You can go to sethgroup.org. They're a group out of San Francisco, and they work with natural THC. And right on their website, what they did, they took some brain cancer cells and put it in a Petri dish. Now, you can keep cancer cells alive, so they put it in a Petri dish, and they put natural THC in with it. And then they took time-lapse video of it. And you can watch it right over the Internet, time-lapse video of natural THC killing cancer, right over the Internet. Now, what is wrong with this system? And they're still out there with their little pink shirts on running for the cure. I mean, somebody better wake up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in touch with several, I'm in touch with so many people now, it's scary. I can't keep up with them all. But, you know, the main thing is to tell people, to spread the word. And, you know, it's all the truth.
Okay, I want everyone who's listening to, Rick, we've got 1 minute, so I just want everyone to go to the phoenixtears.ca site, watch Rick's video, Run From the Cure, and if you don't agree, then You know, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Well, they can also go to...
It's a very powerful statement. It really is.
Well, everything I'm stating is true, dear. And anyone out there that has high-speed internet, you can go to phoenixtearsmovie.com, and you can download the documentary right at that site. Make copies, pass it around to your friends. This is about education. And the faster the people are educated, the faster we can put an end to this nightmare. I mean, this is the darkest chapter in man's history. When you consider, you know, I mean, I can't help but say the word genocide, because when I look at what the Canadian government, when you deny your public a medicine that can save their lives, and that's just what they've been doing for 85 years in this country, what do you call that? People dying
and
suffering
for no reason?
We're off air
now. We're off air now, Rick. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So this has been Rick Simpson. He has a cure for cancer. He would like to be able to offer it to everybody and have everybody offer it to themselves and grow it for themselves. As I said, you can go to phoenixcures.ca and see Rick's story. Thank you so much for joining me this evening, Rick. I really appreciate you being here, and I thank you.
Great show, Frankie.
On.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.